Hi guys, welcome back to The Dark Truth. I had promised yesterday that I was going to share with you the audio track stripped off of the video for The Fall of the Cabal Part 2. Now, if you haven't heard or seen the video The Fall of the Cabal Part 1, this will still make sense to you. And the interesting thing about this is that what's happening around us right now today in terms of COVID-19, in terms of the vaccine, in terms of what we're seeing going on with child abductions, human trafficking, sex trafficking, from everywhere from the prince in the royal family through to major pharma. This stuff didn't just start around COVID-19, or sorry, 2019. It didn't just start then. It didn't just start in 2016. This has been going on for a long time, but we're kind of, particularly in this year, in 2022, coming to the culmination of a lot of, for lack of a more clinical word, a lot of dark forces, a lot of bad things, a lot of people that have only their own agendas and their own well-being in mind. A lot of that is culminating this year. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. I have indicated, and I hope proven, that I have access to a lot of information that is not mainstream. It's not even tertiary stream. Some of the information that I have access to, I get in ways that most people would probably just shake their head, but only to be proven accurate in the end. That's all a big part of cognitive dissonance. And I would even refer back to my earlier podcast on the eight veils and, you know, how to really trust or how to test your level of consciousness and test your capability of being open to ideas and concepts in 3D, 4D, and 5D that maybe are completely new to you. And that's okay. This year is a real year of awakening for many of us. A lot of us in the last couple of years have kind of gone from believing the government was out working for us and that, you know, grocery stores were putting food on the shelves that was healthy for us. A lot of us have kind of moved from that toward a harsh awakening that that's not at all the case. We're discovering that governments are about individuals that are serving themselves. And it doesn't matter whether you're left wing, right wing, or anywhere in between. We're finding that the food chain that's out there is not interested in your health. They're interested in making sales and getting maximum dollars from minimum health in their products. We know that Big Pharma is not interested in your health. They're interested in selling to you. So even while we're discovering things like pine tea can easily deal with the COVID-19 virus or SARS-CoV-2, more correctly, we're finding that Big Pharma is trying to control and stop homeopathic medicines and so forth. So it's already 3.5 minutes. So I'm going to get you into this soundtrack. The lady is English. She's very connected journalistically. And just take me, I'll have to ask that you take me for my word on that or at my word for that. She is a little bit dramatic, but that's part of her craft. Listen to what she has to say and then formulate your own opinion. And I invite you to then, you know, think about it a little bit. Think about what she has to say. And if you haven't heard The Fall of the Cabal Part 1, let me know in the Telegram group, the Dark Truth Telegram group. And I will shoot the link on there as well. And maybe do a link back to that audio podcast as well. So here we go with Fall of the Cabal Part 2. Have a wonderful day. Love you guys. Please share this with someone you care about and someone you love. This is the year we're turning things around. Have a great day.
When we started making the sequel to The Fall of the Cabal, upon writing the script, it all fitted in 17 episodes. But the more we studied, the more we discovered. And as time went by, the world changed before our very eyes. A pandemic, lockdowns, a new normal reshaped societies and the world at large. The old divide and conquer strategy of the Cabal and the rollout of the Protocols of Zion had sped up several notches, making George Orwell's 1984 look pale in comparison to our modern day world. There's no way all of this will fit in 17 parts. Not with these current developments. How many more episodes will we create? We have absolutely no idea at this point. Let's just keep moving and see where things will lead us, shall we? We'll stick to our motto, no time to waste. Let's continue with number one in our depopulation countdown, vaccinations. Remember from part 14, this one very important sentence regarding the so-called Spanish flu pandemic? Only the vaccinated died. This utterly shocking outcome of this vaccination trial, financed and executed by the Rockefeller Foundation, was the beginning of a massive depopulation program that, one century later, would become the ultimately perfected weapon to kill off millions of people. There is so much to say about this topic, but we'll try to keep it short. We'll give you 9 did you knows, things we think you should know when it comes to vaccines. Please do your own research and check everything we present to you, okay? Here we go. Did you know that most diseases had already disappeared due to better hygiene when the various vaccination programs started? Did you know that babies in the US get 26 injections, 5 at a time, against 14 different diseases? Before they've reached the age of 18, they receive 14 more jabs, COVID not included. And did you know that of all those vaccination cocktails, no studies were ever performed by the medical establishment on their possible side effects? Not one? Did you know that the number of people with autism grows exponentially each year? It is estimated that this year more children will be diagnosed with autism than with AIDS, cancer, and diabetes combined. It affects 1 in 54 children. The medical establishment strongly rejects a possible connection between autism and vaccinations. But how on earth can you wipe away a case like this?
Every day in our life was a party. Every single day they were holding hands and smiling and laughing and looking at each other, engaging in each other. On June 25th, 2007, we brought him in for the pneumococcal shot.
So just that shot?
One shot. We went in at 10 a.m. for the shot. By noon, Claire shut completely off. It was as if she was blind and deaf and complete failure to thrive, from super, super happy, smiley girl to, this is a picture of her. She had full-blown eye contact. She was super lovely, and she shut right down. And all she did at that moment was stare at the ceiling fan. So that was at noon. We had the shot at 10 a.m. 2 o'clock, we watched Richie shut off. All the giggles, all the smiles, and again, failure to thrive. They lost all their reflexes. They stopped blinking, stopped yawning, stopped coughing, stopped sneezing. So that was 2 o'clock. We watched Rishi shut down, and I couldn't breathe. But the, there we go. The worst is when we saw the final one shut down. Robbie looked like he was hit by a bus. Robbie, from that moment on, had a stunned look on his face. He lost his happiness. This is a first, first-year picture? First birthday.
3 months after the shot.
3 months after the shot. They were no longer engaged in anything or anyone. They lost their smiles. They just were in their own little separate worlds. They never held hands again. They never looked at each other again. Vaccine injury is real. We were told it was genetic. And then we were told by geneticists that there's no possible way three children were shut off on the same day. That was absolutely statistically impossible, especially being two boys and one girl. So we were also told we could not sue anyone. We were told we signed for that shot. No doctors could be sued. No vaccine manufacturers could be sued. So we had severe autism spectrum disorder for all three kids entering kindergarten.
What happened is we woke up one morning and we had three happy, healthy, 9-month-old children. By that evening, you know, we took them for a vaccination. By that evening, they were autistic. What we said to our pediatrician is, we're not going to do anything. We're not going to do any more vaccinations until we know what happened here. What they said is, if you don't continue to do exactly what you did the day your children turned autistic, we're going to fire you from our practice. So
they broke up with us.
They broke up.
They sent us a lovely letter saying we were no longer welcome at their practice because we weren't going to continue well baby checks.
And that is the one decision that we'll never regret.
Mm-hmm. They can argue with families that your child, because it might be a single child, was genetic. They can try and put that back on the family and say somehow your genes are weak. But with us having two boys and one girl, they lose the argument with us, hands down. So we are the living proof that they're all lying.
Did you know that there is no autism amongst the Amish communities? Their vaccination rates are very low to non-existent. Coincidence? Dr. Frank Noonan, who has been treating Amish children for over 25 years, once said, "You'll find all the other stuff, but we don't find autism. We're right in the heart of Amish country and seeing none, and that's just the way it is." Dr. Dan Olmsted confirmed Noonan's findings. He called this phenomenon the Amish anomaly. Did you know that the American government has paid $4.5 billion as financial compensation as a result of vaccinations gone wrong? Mind you, not the vaccine producers had to pay for the damage caused. They made sure they are above the law with their non-liability disclosures. The American government paid, meaning the American taxpayer. Did you know that the exact same playbook was rolled out in 2009 for the swine flu pandemic and the COVID-19 pandemic in 2019? Everything was ready back in 2009, from face masks and quarantine to vaccinations. However, Wolfgang Wodarg, chairman of the health committee in the German parliament and the European Council, spoke up. He showed the world that the big pharma vaccine producers had intentionally spread fear and panic about a relatively mild disease. According to Dr. Wodarg, they had tempted the WHO into defining the swine flu as a pandemic. He branded the H1N1 outbreak as one of the greatest medical scandals of the century. He said, "We have had a mild flu and a false pandemic." What does that remind you of? Is this why the COVID pandemic was necessary? Because Dr. Wodarg disrupted their narrative? You might ask yourself, where was Dr. Wodarg in the COVID crisis? Oh, he was there all right. He spoke up time and again, as we have shown you in our COVID documentary. But this time, the cabal was better prepared and used their propaganda machine, the mainstream media, to the fullest. The people were brainwashed into believing the narrative more than ever before, and Dr. Wodak's voice got lost in the endless repetition of the fear-mongering media outlets. He was set aside and shamed as yet another tinfoil hat conspiracy nutter, deranged and dangerous to our society. Did you know that 58% of infant deaths occurred within 3 days of vaccination and 75% within a week? Now those are the official numbers, meaning the real numbers are probably even higher. Ever heard of the sudden infant death syndrome, also known as cot death or crib death? It is the sudden unexplained death of a child of less than 1 year of age. SIDS usually occurs during sleep. In the US, about 3,400 babies die of SIDS each year. The sad truth is that parents whose baby died of SIDS were often accused of killing their baby by shaking it or by smothering it. Many of those parents ended up in jail. Many were innocent. Can you imagine the horror? First, your precious baby dies. Then you are accused of its death? Any possible connection with the vaccination the baby just received is fervently denied by the authorities. You are sentenced to several years in prison. Your family is destroyed, and you get the blame. God knows how many parents had to go through this hell and never fully recovered from it. When you hear what's actually in those vaccines, you will understand that the correlation between SIDS and vaccinations is not based on coincidence, as the CDC wants us to believe. Not only that, it is well known by the authorities and the vaccine producers. Now, if this doesn't make you mad, we don't know what will. So, here we go. Number 9. Did you know that the following adjuvants are used in vaccines? Thimerosal, a mercury-based preservative. For years, pro-vaxxers have been trying to deny the use of mercury in vaccines. Yet, thimerosal, and thus mercury, is present in the following vaccines. Also, DTaP vaccines are still recommended and administered to pregnant women. This slide is actually just a summary. This is the official list of risks. Feel free to pause. May be fatal if swallowed, inhaled, or in contact with skin? Can anybody please explain to us why we inject this poison into children? Then, our second vaccine ingredient, formaldehyde, an embalming fluid, present in the vaccines against. Still, the CDC assures the public that the small amounts of formaldehyde in vaccines are safe, but offers no studies to back such a claim. When the entire childhood vaccine schedule is taken into account, a child will have had almost 1,600 micrograms of formaldehyde injected into its body by the age of 6. Why the heck add an embalming fluid to a vaccine? Then, aluminum, yet another heavy metal, used in vaccines against. On day one of life, infants receive 17 times more aluminum than would be allowed if doses were adjusted per body weight, which they are not. At the current time, there are no known or published studies specifically defining levels of aluminum in any vaccine product based on safety studies of aluminum. According to the FDA's guidelines, 850 micrograms of aluminum is what is deemed safe for an adult. However, the amounts of aluminum a tiny infant receives drastically surpasses the safety levels. Following the current vaccination schedule, an infant gets 1,225 micrograms of aluminum by 2 months of age, and 4,925 micrograms by 18 months. Furthermore, a safe level of aluminum has never been established for infants and children. Then, fetal tissue. Vaccines must be grown in a substrate, which simply means that it takes living tissue to grow the microscopic vaccine ingredients. For decades, that living tissue has been aborted fetus cells. This is common knowledge, but not many people know that an Italian research study performed by Corvelva showed that the MMRV vaccine, manufactured by GlaxoSmithKline, contained an entire human genome. Now, the maximum limit of fetal DNA in vaccinations is set on 10 nanograms. This MMRV vaccine, however, went 325 times over that limit. This is both insane and outrageous. These so-called fetal cells are only used to grow viruses. Excuse used by vaccine manufacturers has turned out to be a plain lie. More studies have shown that vaccines contain unacceptably high levels of fetal DNA fragment contaminants. Oh, and by the way, this particular MMRV vaccine gave the researchers of Corvelva an extra shock. Not only did they find an entire human genome, they also discovered as good as no rubella virus, which should have been there. Instead, they found an alarming amount of bacteria and viruses that should not have been there, some of which carcinogenic. And on top of that, they discovered fungi, yeast, and worms. That's right. The stuff we inject into little babies contain retroviruses of humans and birds, other viruses of monkeys and horses, immunodeficiency viruses of humans and monkeys, in other words, fragments of HIV, and platyhelminthes worms. But hey, vaccines are safe. Then, cancer cells. Vaccines contain cancer cells for the exact same reason they contain fetus tissue. Cancer cells, too, are excellent nutrient mediums. They have the capacity to speed up the growth of whatever grows on them. But, just like we just saw with the fetal tissue, it goes further than that. There have been quite a few scandals in the past about full-on cancer cells in, for instance, polio vaccines, that of course were efficiently swept under the carpet by the mainstream media. Last but not least, Nagalase, an enzyme that is secreted by virus-infected cells and by cancerous cells in the process of tumor invasion. Please take a moment to let that sink in. Let me repeat. An enzyme that is secreted by virus-infected cells and by cancerous cells in the process of tumor invasion. How on earth can that be good? Well, it can't be good. And it isn't good. Nagalase prevents the body from producing its best friend, the natural immune booster called globulin component macrophage activating factor. GCMAF activates macrophages, a certain type of white blood cells that attack cancer cells and other foreign invaders like a pit bull defending your body. But Nagalase deactivates your pit bull. As a result, everything bad, like cancer, can grow in your body without limitations. High levels of Nagalase have been found in patients with all sorts of cancer, autism, diabetes, immune disorders, plus viral and bacterial infections. Why on earth is this crap added to vaccines? Well, many doctors asked that same question. They started doing their own research and came up with the same shocking conclusion. Nagalase must have been added to the vaccines on purpose in order to slowly kill people. Not only that, they treated their patients with GCMAF, the pit bull activator, and with outstanding results. Their research findings did not exactly receive a warm welcome. More than 100 American doctors who investigated Nagalase in relation to cancer and autism ended up dead, murdered, suicided. If there's one thing we've learned from all our research, it's that the vaccine mafia accepts no opponents. And those who stand out, for instance, because of their former connection to that same mafia, and or for having a great amount of followers on social media, are silenced without mercy. Hard to digest, isn't it? And the list that we have presented, both in this episode and the previous ones, is far from being complete. What about electronic cigarettes and vaporizers? Do you believe they offer a safe alternative to normal cigarettes? Forget it. They've turned out to be just as harmful. Scientific studies have proven that e-cigarettes can cause cancer, heart problems, lung injury, and that they can damage and change your DNA due to the chemicals present in e-cigarette aerosols, like for instance formaldehyde and acrolein. And what about LED lights? Pushed and sold as energy-saving delights. Yet, the blue light in LED light bulbs radiates ultraviolet light that damages the retina of your eyes. It suppresses the production of melatonin by a factor of 5, causing sleep and mood problems. And it affects the cancer-fighting abilities of your body, remember? Did they tell you that at the store where you bought them, after your government had prohibited the sales of the good old-fashioned light bulb? And did you know that every big pharma product is based on crude oil? Every pill you swallow? Every candle that you burn contains paraffin, a waste product of the petroleum industry, releasing carcinogenic chemicals. And did you know that microwave ovens destroy all nutrients in whatever meal you put in them? Did you know mammograms contain so much radiation that one's entire breast is not only painfully squashed, but also exposed to an upgrade in one's chances of getting cancer? We could go on and on and on. Everything was done by design. There are no coincidences here. The Cabal's deep desire to get rid of the vast majority of us has been worked out in detail in every branch of society, in every aspect of our lives. Whether we die fast through wars and disease, or slow by poisoning us, doesn't matter. As long as we're gone by 2050, max 500 million may survive to serve as obedient slaves in a new world order under the King of Kings. So, how are they going to finish us off? The ultimately perfected weapon to kill off millions of people in one go has already been activated. Do you want to know just how bad it is and what you can do about it? Then follow me to part 18.